Hey guys, welcome back. This is Alex Hates Everything. Today we're going to hate on something. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to spoiler alert. We're going to go and review the movie Crazy Rich Asians. I've got my friend Stephanie here. Stephanie, say hi.
Hi.
Steph, this is the first time on the podcast, right?
It is. I'm actually really excited that I got to be on this particular podcast. I'd be honored anyways if it was any other podcast, but I'm like really, really honored and excited to be on this one.
Awesome. Steph's been begging for our 3 subscribers to the podcast. Steph has been begging to be on the podcast for a while. Finally, glad we found something to get you on and to talk about. Let's go real quick, rapid fire. When did you see it?
I saw it on Saturday.
Oh, so this Saturday. You didn't go, because it was released last week, right? This is the second week already, right?
Yep, this is the past second weekend, so I didn't go the first week. I knew that I wanted to watch it with my girlfriend, so we finally had time the second weekend.
Okay, cool. So you went with your girlfriend, with like Irene and...
No, so Irene's in New York, but I went with some of my girlfriends back here in Fremont.
Okay, nice. So girls' night out. And what were your expectations going into it? Like, were you guys really hyped about it? You thought it was going to be good? Like, had you read the book before?
I had read the book. I read the first and the second book. And so I was actually really nervous. I thought all the reviews prior, like reading it, like it was all hype. But then I was like, oh my goodness, like the casting is going to be so weird. Like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. I want it to be as good as all the hype that was created in the first week. So
exactly.
I went in kind of with like, oh my goodness, like I hope it's as good as like it's been, but with kind of low expectations.
Yeah, gotcha. So you knew it was because the initial reviews were really good. So you were like, oh man, it's got to be. I hope it lives up to the expectations. So the expectations were already set pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. I didn't know you read the book. You read both books too, huh?
I did.
I didn't even know that there was a book until pretty late on. And so I had no interest seeing this, which is why it took me so long to go out and see it. And it was only because it was getting so much buzz. I was like, all right, I guess I gotta go support this, see it. And then I saw the trailer.
You weren't even just going to see it for like your Asian heritage?
Well, I would see it, but I didn't want to pay for it because part of being Asian is being cheap, right?
Touche.
Yeah. So I didn't want to pay for it. And then I saw the trailer for it and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be awful. And I just thought it was going to be so bad. And when I looked it up, the director, like his credits are, he did a Justin Bieber movie. And he did like Step Up like 8 or something like that. So I went into this thinking with very, very low expectations.
Got it.
And I'll go first. I loved it. I was so happy. I give it a 9.7 out of 10 on my review blog.
I did see that. That's why. And then I immediately messaged you and I was like, wow, Alex really likes it.
Yeah. I loved it so much that, so I went to see it by myself and I sat next to, two like large women who like, and I hate movie clappers, right? They're like clapping during the movie. And then by the middle of the movie, I was like hooting and hollering with them and like yelling at the movie screen. It was such a great experience. I would honestly put it into like one of my top 5 experiences.
Yeah. Wow. I would echo kind of similar things. I think I went into it hoping that it was just going to be like a good rom-com. And I think a lot of bloggers and journalists have talked about like, we just haven't had a good amount of rom-coms that have come out in the past couple of years. So I think for that, like it checked off even just that. And then being, you know, Chinese and having a full Asian cast just checked off a whole other box. And then just, oh yeah, for sure. So it was just like, it just checked off so many of the different boxes and it was just so good. And like, I'm the type of person where if I come out of a movie and like, I just want to continue learning more about it. Like I read every article, and then I know Chrissy Teigen posted something after she watched it, and she pretty much just put into words all the things that kind of I was feeling and thinking during the movie, which is great. Like, you want all the things that you like to be liked by other people. And so I felt just like this genuine happiness walking out of that movie. Like, literally, absolutely. Like,
I was like glowing. I was high. Yeah. I was like dancing out of the movie theater. I like, first thing I did was I found that the soundtrack, and I was like,
oh, so good
on my way home. Mm-hmm. So real quick, I wanted to get, first off, what do you give it out of 10 before I forget? Because I'm going to, before we move on, what was your rating?
I don't do like 0.7s, but I'd give it like a solid 9 out of 10.
Solid 9 out of 10. Did Danny see it yet?
No, he hasn't seen it yet.
Okay. I wanted to get back and ask you, because like, one reason I didn't really want to see it is when I heard about the story, and I was like, man, Crazy Rich Asians, it should be called Crazy Rich Singaporeans. I am Asian, and I feel like I have no connection. I don't like understand. I can't relate to this movie is how I felt. But I don't know how you felt, since the movie was in Chinese and you being Chinese. Did you also feel that way, or did you feel sort of a connection with it before going into the movie?
So when I read the book, I didn't feel as much of a connection. I think the way that the movie is portrayed, I felt more of a connection just to the values that were kind of displayed in the movie. Versus like the fact that they were from Singapore. Like, I'm not Singaporean, I'm full Chinese. Like, my parents grew up in Hong Kong. So I don't have like that crazy rich lifestyle, but the values are totally something that I think a lot of Chinese Asian children, especially ABCs, go through during like growing up.
Which is like balancing like what your familial duties with like what you want to do, right? With what like you actually want to, what your heart wants to pursue, right?
Mm-hmm. And like kind of like also what your families want for you, I think. And yeah, it's always the, and I think we see this maybe spoiler alert in Eleanor, where she wants the best for Nick. And mm-hmm. that, like, I think every parent, regardless of ethnicity, wants the best. But I think that's where the kind of notion of like tiger mom comes through very prevalent in Chinese culture.
Yeah.
But I think we see that in Eleanor, and that's kind of what I felt growing up. And so I'm related to that, not necessarily the crazy lifestyle.
Yeah, I too felt that was like super, super refreshing to see. Like, I think all Asians can relate to that. And I also really liked how I felt like, you know, one thing I really didn't like, I don't like the title. I still don't like it. I think it's complete pandering, you know, crazy rich. They're trying to like go for like shock value. It's like almost like I feel like it's like a clickbait title, you know? And I really liked how I didn't think like the movie was not about just in your face, you know, all this extravagance and luxury. I thought it was a really nice touch that the movie really focuses around the story. It at the heart, it's a love story, and it was pleasantly surprising, or it was a pleasant surprise for me that how relatable I found it to be, which was my complete a reversal of expectations going into it. Right.
Totally. Did you find that you related more to it because the cast was Asian or the story?
Both. I think it's cool to see, you know, yellow people on the screen. That was cool. But like, yeah, it's stuff that I feel very much that I can very much relate to. Like, I've never had played Mahjong with my mom in an intense setting like that, or with a future like girlfriend's mother or something like that, or significant other's mother. But I definitely can relate to like the pressures that your family might put on you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So I want to talk to you. Did this movie, well, let me tell you, we were going to review Black Panther on this podcast, but we just didn't get around to it. And I was talking to some of my Black friends, and I asked them, did this movie make you proud to be Black? And they're like, oh, hell yeah. So, and I kind of liken this movie, this is like our Black Panther, right?
Yeah.
Did this make you proud to be Asian?
I don't know.
How do you feel about like the Asianness of the movie?
I think I'm proud of the kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? I'm proud of the recognition that this movie has gotten. I think as I've gotten older, I think I've learned to be more proud of my heritage and my ethnicity. So I don't know if it made me more proud to be Chinese, but it did make me proud that, you know, the Asian community was getting recognition.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I joked, the best part of this movie is if anybody like that is not Asian doesn't like this movie, you can just accuse being racist. That's the best.
I don't know if I'd do that, but I haven't met anyone who hasn't, one, not fallen in love with this movie, and two, who just, because I think it's a feel-good movie all around, even if you don't appreciate it for the fact that it's an all-Asian cast since Joy Luck Club. Uh-huh. You can appreciate for just like the fun and entertainment that was just put into this film.
Gotcha. Yeah, it was just a fun movie. It was just a great experience. It was really funny. I laughed out loud so many times during the movie, like unexpectedly. It was just fun.
Do you think I shout out to Awkwafina, who I just had a major girl crush on after this movie, but she's hilarious.
She is. She was really, really funny. I thought she stole all the scenes that she was in. And I was not a big fan of her. I was just like, who is that? She's like super weird. But she was great.
And yeah.
The movie, like the casting choices were excellent too. I think like one problem I had with the trailer was they showed like every famous Asian actor in the trailer. Like Ken Jeong does not play a big role, but he had like a pretty big part in the trailer. And that was something I was like a little bit hesitant about, a little bit I was scared about, that they were just going to give all these big parts to big names rather than people who like actually can act and fit the part.
Right.
Yeah, I was really, really happy with the casting.
Yeah, and I mean, they aren't as recognized as like the Tom Cruises and the Julia Roberts are. So that was great. I think I'm really excited for the opportunities that they're hopefully going to start getting now based off of
Absolutely.
This film.
Absolutely. Yeah, I saw a trailer where the guy that plays Nick is like in another rom-com or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you hear that this was supposed to be on Netflix?
Really?
Yeah, I heard this. I think
it's a budget for Netflix.
Well, I think Netflix was willing to pick it up, but I think the director was like, no, this type of film and the cast deserve to be on a big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go into directing, I want to give a couple shout outs to some of the supporting characters.
Mm-hmm.
You said Awkwafina. Who else stood out to you?
I think the Gemma, or I'm going to probably put her name, Gem. Astrid, oh,
such a good actress. Yeah. And did you see at the end how
Charlie Wu
off? Oh, is that, you read the book, so I didn't know who that was. Harry Shum Jr. from Glee, right?
Yes, and he's like a more probably reputable Asian American actor, so it was kind of refreshing that like they kind of saved him for the end, because in the book he definitely has a more prevalent role in the first book than he did in the movie, because we only saw him at the end. But it was funny because you could clearly tell either who in the theater had watched Glee or who had read the book, because everyone screamed if you had done either or.
Yeah, a lot of people got up before, because it was like near the end credits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I stood there. I was still sitting seated. Cool. We're going to get back to Astrid, because I thought her character was really, really fascinating. I wanted to learn more. Let's go to some of the main actresses. Obviously Constance Wu who plays the main role, Rachel, was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She was so adorable.
Yeah.
She was great. She's funny. She had so many funny lines, I thought. She probably made me laugh the most.
Yeah, she was really, She just, I think, probably would react the same exact way that maybe you and I would react in a situation. And maybe that's why you related so well to her, because she just
exactly. That's a really great point. Yeah, she was such a relatable character. Just great as the lead actress. But I have to say, I think Michelle Yao, am I saying that right?
Eleanor?
Yeah, as Eleanor, she stole every scene. Every time they went head-to-head in these scenes, like, she won. She, like, stole the show. She was so good.
She was. She played, like, the antagonist so well. And just, spoiler alert, for the way that the movie ended up, how the movie ended, it just was perfect.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I'm kind of ashamed to say this. I didn't see the ending coming. I thought she was just going to leave. And it was going to end on kind of a not happy ending, because they were going to set it up for a sequel. Yeah, which I feel like in retrospect was just dumb thinking by me. And I knew, like, because the opening scene, right, when they go to that hotel and they end up buying the hotel,
mm-hmm.
they won't see her. That was a great opening scene. That's when I knew, like, I was like, wow, this is, I like sat up, perked up in my seat. I was like, oh, this might not be that bad.
Yeah. No, I think that opening scene kind of with the hotel set you up for kind of what Asian Americans were going through.
Mm-hmm. Some other notable performances I wrote down. The Carrie, the guy who plays Carrie, the gay guy with the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was really funny.
Yeah,
really good. I hope we get to see more of him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jimmy Yang as Bernard Tai was pretty funny.
Yeah, there were definitely some extravagant characters, but I think that played really well.
Yeah. I think what I liked most about it, overall, I just thought the director did such an amazing job, John Chu.
Yep.
He just gave us a glimpse into this world, but he didn't, like, I never felt like it was over the top when they were, like, showing, you know, if they were showing, like, how rich people live, like, these extravagant lifestyles, right? I always felt like he wasn't doing it just to show off, or, like, I don't know, like, kind of like, I call it the Michael Bay effect, just have explosions just for the sake of having explosions, for the shock factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really...
And I think, we definitely saw how elaborate it could be with the wedding scene and the fact that there was just water down the aisle, but it never felt over the top. And I think that wedding scene was just more powerful, just to see Rachel and Nick's love for each other in that scene.
That was an amazing scene. Did you tear up?
Yes, 100%.
I definitely teared up. That was one of the best scenes. There were a couple really, really cool scene sequences that I really enjoyed from a directorial standpoint. Pretty early on, do you remember when what's his name? Is it Nick? Nick is asking Rachel to come with him to Singapore, and the mm-hmm. and the two, like, girls in there, the gossipy girls, are like texting all their friends.
Yeah,
that sequence, that was really cool. That was, like, really fresh and modern. I thought that was really cool. Obviously, the wedding sequence we referenced. And then I think the coolest one, the Mahjong scene, right? That was awesome.
So good. And I will be honest, I didn't. And I wish now that I learned how to play Mahjong growing up. But, like, so I think Vox Media came out with an article of just, like, how impactful that scene really is. And, like, if you're not watching all of the details in that, you don't understand the importance of what Rachel actually did with that last tile.
Yeah, but
and how it relates back to that first scene.
Yeah, I've never played Mahjong before. I don't know the rules, but, like, it was very, very understandable to me. And I thought that was super, super impressive and hard to do as a director. Yeah, this guy rocked it. He killed it. I think he deserves... I mean, the writing is great. The acting is great. But the directing is... I give this guy, like... man, I would love to give this guy a hug for not screwing up this movie.
Yeah, it was just a really well done movie, and I think for 2 hours, everyone who watched it was probably thoroughly entertained and also felt the emotional attachment to it.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a couple notes I made about his directing. I think just overall, I think what I was most happy about is like I think the why I didn't want to see this movie and wasn't excited for it is like I didn't want this to be like an Asian movie, right? And this came out to be, it was just like a regular movie that just happened to have Asian characters, right? Sense. And that's totally due to this guy, the director. So hats off to John Chu, who's a Bay Area native.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. His dad owns a like a pretty high-end Chinese restaurant in Los Altos, Chef Chu's. Have you ever been?
No, I've never been, and I'm on his Wikipedia page now and see that he grew up in Palo Alto. Chef, his parents owned Chef Chu's. Wow. Very cool.
Yeah, it was a very modern, like, I don't know, very like millennial. Clearly, like the we're millennials, right? And we loved it.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
I also think that I've read so many articles, and I actually, rather than pushing Danny to go see it, I really want to go watch it with my mom.
Oh,
Just because
wow, nice.
I think that, I mean, my mom likes a good movie, so I'm not too worried, but I think it's just like, it's her when it's my generation when Harry met Sally.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to put it. And I also thought like the casting was great because the chemistry between Constance Wu, who plays Rachel, and the actress who plays Rachel's mom, that seems so real. I mean, there were a lot of scenes that I teared up and just with them, right? The relationship and their dynamic was awesome. Cool. One other thing I jotted down when Nick comes back onto the plane and he pops the question one more time, and out here comes the emerald ring that was displayed so frequently that Eleanor was wearing in the
Did
movie.
you know that, by the way, that's Michelle's real ring?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I was like taken aback. I wasn't mind blown, but I didn't see that coming, and I can't believe it because they foreshadowed it, right? But
Oh
yeah,
yeah. I
pretty
literally
fast.
gasped in the
Yeah,
theater.
I think in the theater I heard like a oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so good, but it's actually Michelle's real ring. I read an article that I think they were trying to find the right ring for Eleanor, and then Michelle was like, "This isn't gonna work," and so she just brought in her own ring. And I think just due to the extravagance of it, and like just the fact that it was like green and like different from just a normal engagement ring,
Yeah.
it was just perfect placement.
Yeah. Man, I love Michelle Yeoh. She's definitely the most accomplished actress, right, in this in the film. She's great in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movies. Cool. Let's see. Cool. We covered the Emerald Ring. We talked a little bit about casting. Okay, so we have basically praised this movie, telling everything that we love about it. Is there any? Do you have any bones to pick, Steph?
I don't know. I think the fact that I don't just off the top of my head really feels like I have to go digging for something to pick. I think no, I think it was a solid like 9 out of 10. I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah.
I'm excited probably more for like what's to come, and I think the hard part for him is just going to be living up to how well this first one's done. I think a sequel's already in play, and I personally just didn't enjoy the second book as much as I did the first book, so I'm interested to see where they take it.
I hope they don't do a sequel, like almost, because it's just like this is so good. How can they top this?
I think they're doing a sequel.
What's the second book about? Who's the
I think it's called like Crazy Rich Girlfriend, and it digs more into like the Astrid and Michael relationship,
Oh, that makes more sense. Interesting. That's
and it
really.
also goes more into Rachel's dad and finding out who he is.
Gotcha. I feel like who cares? Nobody cares about Rachel's dad. That's how kind of how I feel. I feel like he's irrelevant. Oh, let me ask you real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Hey, was the Mahjong scene in the book, or like how true was the movie to the book?
So I read the book a couple years ago, but I don't think that the Mahjong scene actually happened. I think he just ends up proposing to her. Like, there's no like outward like battle between Eleanor and Rachel. Because it's not really, I think in the book, it's actually like Nick is the professor too.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't even remember if they mentioned what his job was or what he did.
Yeah, because I think, and I'm trying to just look online real quick. I probably need to reread the book, but I think that Nick is the NYU professor. Oh, no, she is. She's the professor. I lied. Oh, but he's also a professor at NYU. That's what it was.
You know, it's funny, too. I was going to say this is a perfect segue because you were talking about what the second book was going to be about. Like, one thing I wrote down, bone to pick, Nick Young's character. I think Henry Golding did a great job playing the character. It's just like, it's not a lot of depth. I thought it was like very one-dimensional. I feel like he didn't show, I don't know, if my mother had hired a private detective and revealed this like deeply, deeply private, intimate moment that, you know, her father's not dead, I would be like livid. And this guy's just like too chill. And I don't know if I can blame him for it, because I was thinking, you know, this is not his story, right? It's Rachel's. It's Rachel's story. And so I just thought that was my bone to pick. I just thought he was like a very like one-dimensional character. He's like not even a character. He's almost just like an accessory, kind of, almost, if that makes sense.
I think, I mean, given just how he found out and where he found out, it's his best friend's wedding, and which I think is probably also not the best time to deliver that news. So like, poor on Eleanor and the grandma. But like, he went chasing after Rachel. Like, would you rather chase after the love of your life or yell at your mom right now?
Yeah, that's true. But like, I mean, there were a few days after, right? And he, I guess they didn't show a lot, right? We have to assume that a lot of stuff happened behind the scenes. And I want to compare that to Astrid and the relationship with her husband, because I thought that was fascinating. I wanted to learn more. I thought he was, she's a great actress. I thought the guy who played him seemed like, was not as good an actor, but like that relationship was, I just wanted to learn more. I thought that was a much more interesting story than Rachel and Nick.
Well, I think everyone loves that, I think, scene at the end with Astrid and Michael, where she's leaving the house and Michael asks, well, where are you going? She's like, well, I own 14 buildings, so probably one of them was just the biggest like mic drop ever.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next words, do you remember him? She was like, and let's be clear, this marriage is not, I think she said, not my fault, it's your fault, Fernie. She said something about, you're a coward, you're the coward. That was very, very biting, and it was true.
Yep. Well, and I think she also said, like, and it's not my job to make you feel like a man or something. And I think that was, like, a very, like, empowering female moment in the film.
It is, and I feel like as a male, I could kind of relate to what's his name? Is it Michael?
Michael, yeah.
Michael, I could kind of feel, I could relate to Michael, because, you know, in not just, I think this is just a male thing, whether it's Western or Eastern, it's like you want to be perceived as the man, or like the more dominant figure. Mm-hmm. A man is supposed to be like the breadwinner. He's supposed to provide. And I could see, like, senses, like, I mean, I could relate to his insecurities, right? And that's why I think, I don't know, I thought it was really fascinating. I want to learn more about it. I hope.
That's what the second book is for.
Yeah. Cool. That's really my only bone to pick, and I think most people who did not like the movie, it comes down to like, they're like, oh, this story, it's kind of related to that, right? The story is so cliched. It's like, so shallow. It's just like typical drama series. Yeah.
It was good. I'm excited for hopefully the next one, and that it lives up to how well this one did. And I think I'm excited for how great the response has been for this initial movie.
Gotcha. Okay, so we're going to close the podcast soon, but I wanted to know, because I was thinking, I had a great time with this. If they released a sequel, I would like go see the midnight showing and like not dress up. I don't know how I would dress up. But like, I'd be pretty excited for this. It's ranked in my top 5 movie theater experiences. I can name all top 5. Oh. I want to know, how does this rank for you?
I think it's definitely up there. I don't know if I've had that many great like movie theater experiences. I think the only other one that comes to mind is like the 3 times I saw Titanic when it came out when I was in like the 5th grade. Yeah. But I think like I'm older and will hopefully a little bit wiser and understand the importance of this film, that I would put it, you know, definitely at least in my top 10, but not top 5, only because I haven't put much thought to it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's something I had to think about and something I like kind of mentally keep track of, because I don't go to see tons of movies in theaters these days. It's more, I'd rather just watch it on my own time where I can like fast forward it too at home.
Yeah.
But I would say, yeah, top 5 experience for sure. The other 4 would be The Dark, not in any order, Avatar, The Dark Knight, Gravity, which I think I saw with Alex Miller and Fogarty. We snapped out early one day. We saw it on the Van Ness Theater.
Yep, I remember.
IMAX. It was awesome. So that's 3. What would be 4? This one. And then I don't know what the 5th one would be. But I mean, this is the only like comedy one that, or rom-com or comedy one that I would put up there. It was just a fun movie. So I think that's like our consensus, right? It's just a good, well-made money. Good, well-made movie. A fun time.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Would you see it again, like in the next couple weeks, if someone asked you to?
I would consider seeing it again. I would definitely. I think it's very, very rewatchable, right? Which is important.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to think about it. Depends who asked me to go see it and what I was doing.
Well, I'm surprised that you went and saw it, because I know you're typically sponsored by MoviePass, and for me, this wasn't available via MoviePass. So you paid for this, I'm assuming.
I paid for this. I paid $16, $16 or $17. Yeah, it's expensive here in New York.
But worth it?
Well worth it. Worth every penny, yeah.
Good. I would agree. Like, I went through it through Fandango, so I paid the Fandango convenience fee as well, and would agree that it was money well spent.
Oh, yeah. Was the theater packed when you saw it?
It was a smaller theater, so it was full, but it wasn't like people are sitting first row seat full.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, cool. Well, Steph, any like final plugs or comments, anything you want to make? Any last words?
I would just say that if you haven't seen this movie, you should definitely make time to go watch this movie. It's a great feel-good movie, and you won't regret it.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Thanks, Steph. We'll see you. One of the best parts of this movie, the soundtrack was great.
The sound? Oh, yeah. No, I... yeah, the sound, and I was a little bit concerned because, like, I don't really listen to like Chinese music.
Yeah,
but it, like, the entire playlist on Spotify is just straight hits.
Yeah, the Miguel song that plays during the credits.
Oh, so good! I'm on repeat.
I have it on repeat too. It's awesome. All right. right, Steph. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, Alex. I'll catch you next time. I'm in New York.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Moda na gringa é Feliz Natal. Se equivocou, mas ficou tudo bem. Agora disso está na onda zen. Hey, baby.